What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 70 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com and coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Periscope, Twitch, YouTube, pretty much anywhere that there's a streaming network, we're on it. And we're always streaming, of course, in the Going for Two app for the iOS and Android app, which is free. All right, guys, it's been a little bit since we've had a show. We missed last week, so it's been about 2 weeks since our last show. And I'm excited to get Gerson and Tim back on the show here. Gerson, unfortunately, is coming at us from on location, so he's got terrible Wi-Fi network, so he's only on audio tonight. Gerson, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. I'm down in the corner of Native American country. I don't know where it's at. It's corner of Utah. So I like to call it, it's called Blanding, but I like to call it the Blonde Hammer because it's nothing like nature. But I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good. And Mr. Tim with the brand new HD camera so we can see him in HD resolution. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. I had to get an upgrade for the show.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, guys. Like I said, it's been a little bit since we've been on here. I don't know. Have y'all been playing every night? Because I've been so damn busy, I haven't had a chance to play every night. I've been kind of out of sync with the NBA lately.
I have. So
yeah, I know you've been playing every night, Gerson. Awesome. You pretty much always do.
Yeah, I don't play every night, but I get in at least a few slates a week. I like to stay plugged in, but...
Yeah, I think the last time I played was probably, other than tonight, I did play tonight. But I haven't played in probably a week. I think that my job's been kind of kicking my ass, and it's just been one of those kind of weeks where you just can't get anything done. So I'm a little bit out of sync here, so excuse me if I'm not up to the latest news, but that's why I got Gerson and Tim here to kind of walk me through the slate today. All right, let's go ahead and get into the slate, and we're going to start off. Again, we go game by game, guys. I know we used to do by position, but we decided that going game by game is a little bit easier. So we're going to start off with the Dallas at New York Knick game. And Tim, you got this game. What do you see going on in this game here? Anybody you're targeting in this game?
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, I'm a Mavericks guy. Big news in town, obviously, is Luka Doncic. He's just been lighting up this year, and I like him in this spot a lot. He's 8,800, but I think he's almost, it's hard to say a guy's ever safe for 40 points, but I think he's got, almost a, mid 30s floor and then 60 point upside. So for 8,800, I'm definitely interested. He was the first guy on my list. Other news around town, at least, before last week, was that the Mavericks were trying to trade Dennis Smith Jr. He wasn't really fitting in with the team. They didn't have a role for him, so they were looking to trade him. And then over the last week or so, that narrative kind of got thrown out the window. And he had 17 points, 19 points, 13 points. So, he's 5,700. So I think he's a pretty interesting play as well. And then also a value play from the Mavericks that I like is going to be Dorian Finney-Smith. He's a favorite of Coach Rick Carlisle's. He's been giving him a ton of minutes. He's been averaging about 25 minutes a game for 3,600. So that trio of guys from the Mavericks is probably where I would go on that side. And then on the other side for the Knicks, obviously the big story in New York right now for the Knicks is, Enes Kanter. He's in the doghouse. He can't get off the bench. Obviously he's got his international troubles, but specific to DFS, he's just putting up goose eggs, man. You can't have that. So with that being said, mm-hmm. They've been running kind of a smaller lineup lately. And so I really like Noah Vonleh. I think he sets up good against the Mavericks. He's kind of been playing that five role, but he's a little bit, I think he's going to give DeAndre Jordan some issues. So I kind of like him in that spot. And then with Moutier out, they've been giving a lot more usage to Tim Hardaway Jr. So I've really been liking, he's been averaging 15 shots a game. So another guy, he's 6K and he's got, 40-ish point upside. So I think that those are probably my two favorite plays on the Knicks. I was taking a look at Trey Burke and Alonzo Trier, and both of those guys I just feel like are so up and down.
Yep.
That I don't really have any confidence in them at all. So if you're looking for somebody to, kind of a game stack to go with like Luka, DSJ, I would probably run it back with Tim Hardaway and Noah Vonleh.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I do like that. And it's one of the few games that we've actually got some Vegas numbers on here. So yep. The over-under is at 217.5 right now, and it looks like the Mavericks are favored by 6. So not a huge high-scoring game, but it should be a fairly closely fought game. You know, 6 points isn't a huge amount to be underdogs to. So I love those plays there. Gerson over on audio there, what do you think of those plays that Tim called out? And go ahead and talk about the next game on the slate, the Hornets and the Celtics.
Those are some good calls. It's just, you got to realize that what's called Tanner's done. He's not playing. Don't even play him. So just, he's done. Fisdale didn't even like him. Fisdale said when they asked him, with the end of Tanner not getting any minutes, if you think there's going to be growing frustration, his response was hilarious. He said, What's going to happen? We're going to lose more? I don't know. So, I mean, overall, that game is going to be a good game to target, I think. I mean, obviously, you always want to target players against New York. Mario Hezonja might be a good value for me in this game. So, I think he's 3,500, So, on DraftKings, on FanDuel, he's a little, I think he's priced differently on FanDuel, but I think he is 3,800. So, yeah. But overall, good game. I got Charlotte and Boston. Sorry. Obviously, we know Kyrie Irving dealing with injuries. It seems like Kyrie Irving almost misses a game once a week, I swear.
Yep.
I mean, lately. But we know Terry Rozier takes over the spot, so obviously he's going to be a top value on this slate. Rozier, when he gets his minutes and his shots are actually falling, he tends to do really good, like 35 points, 40 points. I mean, he had a 37-point game against Brooklyn, Cleveland 45-point game, and Atlanta 37-point game. So it all depends on games that are really good to target. I don't really fear Kemba Walker's defense. I mean, I think Charlotte's a little bit slower pace, but you're going to have to find value somewhere. Rozier, 6,500 isn't too bad. I don't really want to target anybody else on the, what they call, the Boston Celtics. I never played Al Horford because he just doesn't entertain me the thought of getting 50 points.
He had six blocks the other night, Gerson.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know he had a great game the other night, but 53 points, but that's against Brooklyn. That's a hell of a matchup, Brooklyn's one of the worst against centers. So,
like I said, overall, six blocks. Game, I mean, you can't really count on 6 blocks every game. That was probably half of his point total right there.
Yeah. I mean, on the other side, I do like Kemba Walker. I don't really consider Terry Rozier a great defensive player. Kemba Walker, 8,800. And there's just, I know a lot of people always concentrate on the whole Kemba sucks on the road. I just don't ever pay attention to road split or home split. This is not the NFL. I mean, basketball is basketball. You're going to ball wherever you go. We have different opinions there. People have been playing Marcus Smart. He's a good value at 5,700. 52 points in the last game against Brooklyn. Basically, if you face Brooklyn, you're going to have a great game, by the way.
Yeah.
But Gordon Hayward, I don't really have too much interest in him. It just, he doesn't seem right this year. So not going to target too much from this game. It's a slower-paced game, but those are my guys that I'm probably going to target, which is just going to be Terry Rozier and Kemba Walker.
Any interest in Jaylen Brown?
I was just going to mention, I know people probably want to play Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is priced at 6,600, and then Jaylen Brown is at what? Like 50-something?
5,700, I think, on FanDuel.
So if I were to play one of those guys, I'd probably play Jaylen Brown the most. With Jaylen Brown, he's just so inconsistent sometimes, and it's kind of frustrating. But on this game, I think he's a good value. I mean, if he can get you those 31-point upside that he has, I mean, 30-point upside, then yeah. I'd rather play Jaylen Brown. I think power forward a little bit different tomorrow. So, yeah, but that's my take on this game. Slower pace, not a great over-under total, but there's other games I'm going to target.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with the Boston Celtics, too, you got to be a little careful. I know right now it's probably a little too early to worry about it, but if you start seeing some of those role player guys getting less minutes than normal, of course, they got all those trade talk rumors with Anthony Davis. The moment you see those players getting less and less minutes means there's probably a trade imminent, so you got to be careful with that. I know, like, a couple years ago, there was a time when I can't remember who it was. It may have been Derrick Rose. When there was trade talks with him, he didn't play for like 3 straight games before the trade deadline because they were trying to trade him. So kind of keep an eye on that as well. Because I know. Go ahead.
Isn't it funny that this game doesn't have a Vegas total? Like, it makes you think, like, Vegas is worried that there might be a trade.
Might be a trade. Yep, it's exactly right. So I would definitely keep an eye on that. Like I said, I think it's probably still a little too early in the game because I'm sure that the Lakers and the Celtics will kind of have a bidding war for Anthony Davis, and they want to see who they can get the most from which team. But I'd be watching that over the next, like, week and a half so to see if they cut back these guys' minutes, because if one of them get hurt, then it's probably going to throw a wrench in the trade value that they're going to have. So, all right, good stuff there. All right, we're going to move on to the next game here. Tim, you got
all right, can I make one comment real quick?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, so first of all, Garrison mentioned Marcus Morris. I think he's my favorite play in this game. He's the only guy whose role, he's got one of the biggest role changes when Kyrie doesn't play, but his price hasn't adjusted. He's only 5,300 on DraftKings. So he's consistently getting 5x value as a floor, you know, with like 6-7x upside. So I really like him. And then Garrison mentioned the ultimate Brooklyn special this week was Marcus Smart, who put up 49 DraftKings points. Do not get stuck box score watching. That will not happen again. He's going to return right back to the same 18-19 points a game guy. That's DraftKings, not, you know, real points. So, yeah, do not be tempted to play Marcus Smart. It's a total letdown spot.
Agreed, 100%. All right, Tim, we'll go ahead and stay with you, and we'll talk about the Bulls and the Heat game here. What you got for this game?
All right, so one of my two games I have tonight where one of the teams is on the back-to-back. Chicago Bulls are actually still playing. They've got a minute left against Brooklyn. So, as always, on a back-to-back, go ahead and keep an eye on the inactives. But assuming that everybody plays as of right now, obviously, at this point, as you mentioned, this is one of the games where they do have some Vegas totals out. Current total I show is 206.5 over under, and then Miami by 11. So they're obviously thinking that there's going to be a little, you know, that the Bulls are going to get, blown out of this one, or at least, you know, they're going to be well ahead. But I still think that there's some good plays in this game. One of the things that I noticed while researching this game is that we might finally be seeing the return of Hassan Whiteside. For the longest time,
don't say it.
He was stuck in a timeshare. Now, I'm not saying he's a play. He's somebody to keep an eye on, because for the longest time, him and Bam were just splitting minutes. In the last few games, he's been getting 30 plus minutes. So I think he's interesting. And then two other guys to keep an eye on, Dwayne Wade and Tyler Johnson, are both questionable for the game. I think that they both make good plays if either one of them plays. But if they both don't play, I like Wayne Ellington as a value. He's $3,500, and he's going to put you up probably in the low 20s, but he'll be able to more than hit value and let you play up for people elsewhere.
Like that.
I really like Zach LaVine, but the problem is his price has just come up so much that I just don't know that he has enough ceiling to be able to pay it off. You know, he's going to be able to get you 30, 35 points. But, I mean, at this point, he's, 7,700? Sorry, 7,100. So then, I mean, he needs at least 35 to hit value. 6X is 42. So that's, you know, that's kind of on the upper limit of his range. So I think I'm probably out on him. So two guys I do like in this game. So I mentioned Ellington if the other two don't play. They've been giving, and obviously this is going to – we saw it today – that they gave, he didn't play real well, Robin Lopez. But sometimes when he gets to start in a good matchup, he can play, he can more than pay off his salary because he's only, 4,400?
Yep.
But I think that my favorite play in this game, or at least on the Bulls side, is going to be Wayne Selden. Since the trade, he's been getting a good amount of minutes, and I think in this game he's got a good spot to see 20-plus minutes. He didn't have a real great game tonight, but at his price, 4,300, I think he can easily go, 6-7X value. So I don't think there's really anybody I'm paying up for in this game. I think this might be a spot to look for some value options.
Yeah, I agree. I think with that low total, I think that maybe probably the lowest on the slate tonight. This game doesn't really interest me. And, of course, Whiteside, I hate Whiteside. That's why I was like, don't say it. Because the moment I see his game logs, I'm like, oh, Whiteside, he's gotten pretty cheap. And he's been playing really well. I'll be plugging him in. He'll go out and get like 12 minutes and, get in foul trouble or something. And I'll be screwed. It happens every time. So,
yeah, speaking of 12 minutes, one guy that I've seen some people talk about, not necessarily for this slate, but just in general lately, has been Jabari Parker. And, I was interested in him when he was, 3,300, 3,400. But he's, you know, he's getting like 14, 15 minutes a game. And unless he's super efficient, he's not really paying off. So I know that 4,100, you know, might look enticing, but I just don't think that there's enough upside for the risk.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think this game is one that I'll probably fade unless I can find some value with those injuries that you mentioned. All right, Garrison, let's go to you. Let's go ahead and if you want to get any comments about that Bulls game, and then we'll talk about the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves next. What you got?
No, Tim nailed it right on the money. I mean, everything I have to agree with him. For Memphis and Minnesota, I'll be honest here. This is going to sound pretty weird, but I'm with the fade for me. I'm not really interested in a lot of these players. Carl Anthony Town, he's 11,200, and he's only hit the 50-point mark in 12 games against Memphis only twice. So we know Memphis is a slow-paced team. They have a good defense. They're kind of stingy.
Yep.
And, I mean, if I were to play anybody in this whole game, it's only going to be, Jared Bayless at 5,000. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones are out. I don't mind Andrew Wiggins, but I don't really want any of the Memphis guys. Mike Conley, I mean, I understand Mike Conley and Paul Gasol right now are probably displaying their talent for a trade. But overall, I mean, their price is up. I mean, he's 8,300, Mike Conley, and then Mark Gasol is 8,300 as well.
Yep.
I think I'm looking elsewhere. I mean, not very interested in this game.
Yeah, and I'm curious if y'all know the answer to this, but there's no totals for this game. Who are we waiting for injury news? Is it really Derrick Rose? Is that who we're waiting for?
No, I don't think it. I think it's the trade. I mean, Gasol and Mike Conley are both on the trading block.
Gotcha.
And if the trade happens in midday, you know, that's going to change the whole outcome.
Yep, definitely. I'm looking at that, and I'm like, I don't see anything. You know, there's no big injury in this game, so why are this total's not up yet? But that could be a good reason why. So, yeah, I think I agree there. I typically fade Memphis in general, whether they're playing, you know, even a faster-paced team. I try to fade Memphis. I just don't love them. I do play Cat quite often, but not in this matchup. Terrible matchup for me. And there's no way I'm paying plus 11,000 for him. So I agree.
Yeah, in my opinion, there's only two plays in this game. One he mentioned was Jared Bayless, and then the other one I'm kind of interested in, Jaren Jackson Jr. at 5,400. They're just giving him more and more opportunities. And I think that, you know, he had a 32-point game, 25-point game, so he's not going to blow you away. But I think that they're going to give him more and more opportunities, and he's only going to get better and better. So he's definitely worth a look, I think, at least, especially if we get any news beforehand.
Yep, agreed 100%. All right, that is it for the first four games. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll tackle the last four games, which I promise there's a lot more interesting games in the second half than there was in this first half. These were kind of some boring games that no one's going to be really targeting, but these next four are pretty good. So let me quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
We'll be right back. The echo chamber enhanced the flow at the block party. Keeping MC head spinning like Doc Bacardi. This BAC is 2.3. Now the live is dead.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm here as always with Gerson and Tim. Gerson is in full audio mode tonight because he is in a area where Wi-Fi just isn't very plentiful. So we got him on the LTE right now. Hopefully he's got LTE. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's on 3G out there. So all right, so we got some better games coming up here. But first thing I want to do is thank our sponsor, StatRoute.com. They have some advanced stats for NFL, as you saw the commercial there, but they also have an NBA product out now as well. They're still improving it, but I just was able to test it tonight. It's actually pretty good. They're adding a bunch of stuff in the near future there, so definitely check them out. If you use my promo code G42MBA, you get a free trial, and you get to save 50% off the yearly subscription as well. So, again, that's G, the number 4, the number 2, and then MBA, and get a free trial and half off your subscription. So definitely check them out. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into some of these better games here. The first one on the docket here is going to be the Pelicans, which, of course, are in a lot of trade rumors right now with Anthony Davis and a lot of guys sitting out. And then the Denver Nuggets, you know, they're one of the best teams in the NBA right now. Tim, what do you see in this game?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think the biggest news in this game is just all the injuries. I mean, you know, obviously, Anthony Davis is out, you know, right now, or at least it's expected that Mirotić is not going to play, Julius Randle's not going to play, and then on the other side, Jamal Murray is not going to play. So that's obviously, you know, kind of one of the biggest things I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And then on top of that, the Pelicans also play tonight, so they're going to be on a back-to-back.
Yep.
So we may have to, as always, like I said earlier, just going to have to keep an eye on inactives, who's going to play. But at this point, I mean, it just looks like while those guys are out, we're just going to have to, you know, play their, you know, play the guys behind them. But I think one of the biggest questions, and I know you know about this, is whether or not we see Elfrid Payton play. Obviously, he was ruled out for tonight.
Killed me.
I don't know.
Huh? He killed me. I put in all my lineups.
Yeah, so I don't know, obviously, if he's going to play tomorrow. If he's out, I think that you can go back to, you know, you can play Frank Jackson. I think there's going to be a lot of value in this, depending on how things shake out. Guys like Darius Miller, Frank Jackson. You know, Garrison made a joke earlier about, you know, Jrue Holiday is the only guy that can shoot on that team, you know. And, you know, he didn't have a real good game, or it's not looking like it tonight. And his price has come up so much, but like, who else is going to score for them? You know, at 8,900, obviously, I can understand being a little hesitant, but I just really don't think that they have anybody else to score for him. So you got to at least consider him, at least in my opinion. And then over on the other side, you know, Garrison mentioned earlier about splits. I am actually a big believer in splits. I think having the home crowd behind you, some guys are definitely better shooters at home. One guy who has pretty significant home road splits is Nikola Jokic. But in this case, since he won't be playing against anybody, I mean, with Solomon Hill, Darius Miller, I think, you know, the other night he had a 69-point game against Utah on the road, and I think this could set up to be another huge spot. He is the highest-priced guy on the slate at 10,900, but he's probably one of only a couple guys on the whole slate that has 60-point upside. So I definitely think you have to consider him right from the top. And then a couple guys also that I like on the Nuggets side. First one that comes out to me is going to be Gary Harris. He's obviously working his way back in, so he hasn't really had those, you know, games that we've seen him before. But I think that on the other side, also on Denver is Will Barton. I was looking at him initially, but his price has come up to 6,800. Yep. So it puts him in kind of the same range as I was saying earlier about Zach LaVine. Is that sure he's going to be taking 10, 12, maybe even 15 shots a game, but they're just not efficient. He doesn't put up a ton of peripheral stats, so it's going to be tough to pay off that. I think that if I'm not going to, you know, if I'm going to play anybody that's not Jokic on the Denver side, it's probably going to be Malik Beasley. He's 4,200, and he has, you know, he's playing consistently 24-ish minutes a game. He's going to, you know, give you probably a 4 or 5 times floor, and then have that, you know, 6 times, 7 times upside that we're looking for, at least out of our value plays. So, you know, this one has a, you know, like I said, one of the higher over-unders on the slate at 227 points. That's as it stands now. And Denver's, you know, projected to win by about 8.5. But on the road, I think that they'll be able to keep it pretty close, especially if Jrue Holiday has a good game. And if Elf plays, I think that they'll even be able to keep it closer. So that's one you're definitely going to want to monitor, but I definitely think there's some good plays in this game.
Yeah, I like your Jokic call as well. I think he sets up pretty well against his team. I mean, I think Jahlil Okafor is going to be the one defending him, and he's not a good defender. So I think that would be an ideal situation for Jokic there. I think he's going to be, you know, he is the highest priced guy, and I think on both sides. But I do like that call there. And like you said, it's all come down to the injuries. Who all is going to be actually playing in this game? You know, Elf, like I mentioned, screwed me tonight. I had him in my cash lineup, and luckily, FanDuel dropped your lowest score, but he's pretty much going to be my lowest score. I've been the big fat zero on my lineup. All right, Gerson, let's go to you. Comments on this game, and then talk about the Pacers and the Wizards game.
One, I have to disagree with Tim on that this game's going to be close. I think it's actually going to be a blowout. Two, it's a pretty good game to target overall. I mean, we know how good New Orleans is with the pace and whatnot. And without Anthony Davis, they're limited, but have a lot of good value.
Hey, they're beating the Rockets right now. I just want to put that out there.
Right now, they have Drew Holiday has like 44 FanDuel points just in the throughout the third quarter. So if he plays like, I don't know, he'll play like 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. So he'll probably get like what, 15, 10 more points at least. So I love Drew Holiday. When all these players are out, you're going to play him. But back to back kind of does worry me a little bit. But and not only back to back, I think they just played like, they had like one day off. So it's like three games in four nights.
Yep.
So it's pretty worrisome. So the next game we're talking is Washington and Indiana, right?
Yep.
That's perfect. I'm going to throw out a name that you guys probably never heard of. Edmund Sumner. Heard of him?
Never heard of him. First time.
Okay. So we all know Victor Oladipo tore his ACL. With Victor Oladipo tearing his ACL, Edmund Sumner is likely going to be the starter. And in the last game, he actually got about 18 FanDuel points, I believe.
Yep, 17.6 in 28 minutes.
Yeah, 17.6. And he's only 3,500. So
he went 1 for 10 from the field as well. So pretty much a floor game for him from the looks of it points-wise.
Yeah, good call there because, 10 shots.
Another player I'm... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say 10 shots for a guy at that price point. You know, if he hits a couple of those, it's a different game for him. So, yeah, I like that call.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're going to be looking for some value. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of value that we're overly excited yet, but, I mean, I'm going to be looking for value. But Darren Collison, kind of interesting, too, at 6,500 with no Victor Oladipo again. He's very interesting. He's more of a GPP play for me and maybe a cash game. I might have him in my cash game pool. Aaron Holiday is another guy that benefits from Victor Oladipo. Aaron Holiday is actually a good player. He's a, what's his name? Are they brothers, Drew Holiday?
That's Justin Holiday's their brothers. Aaron
Holiday.
Yeah, I don't know if Aaron's raised him or not. I have to look that up, actually. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but Aaron Holiday is actually a good college player. When he came out of,
they're all brothers. Good call.
They're all brothers?
Okay.
Yep.
Damn, it's a good family right there.
So, I mean, their parents must be very happy.
Yeah, right.
You know, they don't got to pay another bill the rest of their life, you know?
I know, that seat is strong.
So, I mean, like I said, this game I'm actually going to target a lot of players because with Victor Oladipo being out, it kind of allows us to get mid-tier plays too. Don't mind Bogdan Bogdanovic. 6,400 for DeMontis Sabonis. He hasn't been the DeMontis Sabonis we expect him to be. Kind of disappointed me the other night. I believe he only got like 30-something points, right?
The last time he played, he had 14 points.
Yeah, I knew he did bad, so one bad. I was mad. I was really mad. But then again, I played like 150 teams, so I can only be mad for so long. So, I mean, overall, 22 points. 14.5 points. Yeah, I mean, it's not very impressive. So, I mean, he is in play, GPP, but I don't know. It's against Washington. That's the reason why I'm naming all these Indiana players. So it's just Washington's one of the worst defensive team in the league. You want to target them.
And they play at a high pace,
Washington,
too.
What was that?
They're a bad defensive team that plays at a high pace. You always love that.
Yeah. Yep, correct. So on Washington side, I don't And obviously Bradley Beal is amazing. I don't know how many points he got today. I think he got over 50 points. But a lot of their players don't really interest me. I think the only player I like is Otto Porter Jr. I know he's really cheap on DraftKings, if I'm correct. I believe he's cheap. He's 7,000 on FanDuel. I like him, and then I like 5,700. So that's pretty cheap for a mid-tier player against Indiana. I mean, they allow almost 47.9 points per game against small forward. Small forward, right? Not shooting forward.
Yeah, small forward. Right? Yep.
So yeah, I mean, you can play Bradley Beal, but I don't like him in this spot, to be honest. His price is way up to it's not like 8,800 or 9,000 like it used to be.
Yeah, I think priced at his ceiling. Basically, you're not going to get the James Harden ish games out of Bradley Beal, I don't think.
Yeah, and he's on a back to back, so you got to keep an eye out on that. But overall, I think those are my players right there. Not really interested in much else. Like I said, this game had a lot of good mid-tier plays, and Edmund Sumner is just a GPP play for me. But yeah, if I were to play a cash game, I'd probably play Darren Collison more.
Yeah, I think it's not only because Oladipo's out, but also Tyreek Evans is also out. That's why he's getting the start. So it looks like Tyreek Evans will still be out. So that definitely bumps him up a little bit as well.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, Tim, you get to talk about go ahead. What you got, Gerson?
I can't believe I forgot him. Miles Turner against Thomas Bryant or Ian Mahaney. He's definitely in play. Sorry, I totally skipped him over. But definitely love Miles Turner in this spot. I mean, he's 7,300 on FanDuel, so I definitely want some pieces of him.
Yep, definitely. Asante, I see you on there talking about Bill's 80-point game. I get it. He's had one. But I don't know if I want to pay that price and hope for that one 80-point game that he's had. Probably his only 80-point game in his career. I see you. But he's talking about Bradley Beal not having a James Harden game. So it looks like most of his games are 40, 45. You know, he's had a 60-point game in there, but I don't think I'm going to count on it at that price point. All right, Tim, you can talk about the best game on the slate probably, the Atlanta and the Kings game. This game should be a high-flying affair here. What you got for this game?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, at least as of right now, it is the highest over-under on the slate at 235. Sacramento is currently a 5.5-point favorite. But as you mentioned, man, this is like the shooters, no defense bowl. So you always want to target that when you're looking at the slate. Whenever you're talking about a high-paced game with a ton of shooting and you're talking about the Hawks, then you got to talk about Trae Young. I know Garrison can't wait to talk about Trae Young. He's not somebody that I play a lot of. But in recent games, he's actually gotten more consistent, in my opinion. You know, he's still putting up the 13, 15 shots that he was before, but we're seeing him putting in 8 assists, a couple of steals, a couple of blocks, and I think that's a little bit more than he was putting up in the earlier season where you might see 2, 3, 4 assists. So I think that he gives you more of a floor than he did before. So even if he's not having a great shooting game, he can still pay off that 7,400 price tag. But now he's got the close to 50-point upside that a lot of truthers out there were trying to tell you he had from the beginning. So
perfect.
I think the first play I look at here is going to be Trae Young.
Hey, Tim, perfect example. I just wanted to point out with Trae Young is his game against Chicago. He only had 5 real-life NBA points, but he had 31 FanDuel points because he had 12 assists and 7 rebounds. So perfect thing we were just talking about right there.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, that wasn't something we were so much seeing from him earlier in the season. So we're already starting to see a little bit of the evolution of Trae Young. So I like that. Also on the Hawks side, this is a guy that regularly makes his way into my lineups because he's got a good floor with upside. And that's going to be Dwayne Dedmon. He's 5,600 on DraftKings. He's going to get the matchup against Willie Cauley-Stein, who's not exactly a great defender. And you're talking about a guy that, has, like I said, close to a 5x floor and a 7x ceiling. I mean, that's one of my go-to type cash game type plays. So I really like that. And then another play that kind of interests me, obviously it depends on what we're looking at as far as minutes, but they've been giving Alex Lynn more minutes lately. And so he's only 4,500 on DraftKings. He's had a couple of 30-point games in the last week or so, and there aren't too many guys that are going to be, putting up 30 points, 30 DraftKings points in that 4,000 range. So if it looks like they're going to be giving him another 20-minute type game here, I definitely think Alex Lynn is in consideration. And then one other guy, and this is a guy that I haven't really played a whole lot for Atlanta, at least not recently, and that's going to be Jeremy Lin. He just popped up on a when I was doing my research. I think, again, he's a guy that's, you know, kind of got that, you know, five times that we're looking at as far as the floor. But maybe some better values on this slate. But if there's any injuries or anybody's inactive, I think that, yeah, 4,100, he definitely could be in play. And then really the only guy, obviously, like I said, Sacramento is expected to win this game, and it's really high over-under. But I feel like the points are so spread out on Sacramento that,
yeah,
you know, that it's tough for me to latch on to anybody. Like, I really want to play De'Aaron Fox, but obviously his price has come up quite a bit. Same with Buddy Hield. His price has come up quite a bit. So if you're talking about playing 7,200 for Buddy Hield, who has a sub-30 point floor, you know, that makes it a little bit risky. Sure, he can get you that 40 points, but you need at least 35 to pay off value. So it's a little bit riskier. So I think probably my favorite play on the Kings side is going to be Bogdan Bogdanovic. Again, like I said, what I'm looking for is a guy that's going to give me consistently about a five times floor with upside. And that's what he is, man. He's consistently, you know, he had a 50-point game the other day, a 45-point. I mean, it was against Brooklyn, but then he brought it back with a 45-point game at Toronto. So for 5,500, as I was saying earlier, you always want to look for those upside plays. And I think that in a high-paced game, he's going to be taking a ton of shots. This could end up being another ceiling game for Bogdan.
How much was I know you mentioned Hield. How much is Hield compared to Boggs on this slate for DraftKings?
So Hield is 72 and Boggs is 55.
Yeah, see, on FanDuel, it's exactly the opposite. Boggs is actually priced higher than Hield. So on DraftKings, that's a tremendous value, I believe. I think you hit it right there on the head with that call.
Yep. And as we always say, I mean, all of the prices that we give here are, you know, definitely slate or site specific. So a play on good DraftKings may not necessarily be a good play on FanDuel. So yeah, you definitely got to look out for those pricing adjustments. That's where a lot of the value can be found.
Yep, agreed 100%. All right, Gersten, you want to comment on this game here and then go ahead and talk about your Utah Jazz going to Portland?
No, that game's a great game to target. I'm probably going to have the heaviest exposure to De'Aaron Fox. I mean, he's so cheap on FanDuel. He's almost he's only 7,800. So, I mean, you give me De'Aaron Fox at 7,800 versus in that game, yeah. Man, that's so cheap. I wouldn't be amazed if he's that highly owned. I mean, overall, De'Aaron Fox probably my number one player in that game for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
But for the Utah Jazz, it's easily I like to talk about the Jazz, but in this game, Portland tends to play Utah very well. If you go look at the history log versus the Jazz, a lot of the players always underperform. Donovan Mitchell have had some big games against them, but in reality right now, Mitchell is priced up pretty high. I mean, with Mitchell priced up being high, it's just because when Rubio was out, I don't really think I really want to pay up for that.
Yep.
If there's one player that I probably want to play just to be a little bit contrarian, it's going to be Rudy Gobert. Rudy's been doing very good lately, and I know the Jazz are finally healthy. They've gotten most of their players back, except for players that don't really matter, I guess you can say. But
your boy Neto,
I love Rudy. Yeah.
What's up? I said your boy Neto is still out.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's cool. Let him be, man. I took a shot with him at a bar. He's cool. But no, I definitely love Rudy in this spot. I think Rudy just has. Lately, he's had like these 50-point games out of like just consistently, like 55, 50-point games. And so I think that's the only play I'm going to be targeting in this game. Damian Lillard is coming back from an injury. Started for him? Seth Curry. But I think Seth Curry will go right back to the bench. Damian Lillard will play. Again, if you haven't listened to the podcast, I am not a Damian Lillard fan. I never play him. Hardly, rarely do. If I do, it's only because he's the best point guard in the slate, and I have to hold a gun to my head and play him. So yeah.
Obviously, DraftKings, you know, likes the Lillard play because even with him sitting out, they actually raised his price from the last game.
Wow!
But in the last game against Utah, he had 47 points, and that was on the road. And he's back at home and healthy. It says that he's fully healthy. He wasn't even listed on the injury report with that knee. So, you know, if he took that rest to get ready and he's, you know, going to light up there in Portland, man, I think he's at least worth considering. Obviously, I understand Garrison's point because he's not going to give you too many of those 60-point games that you're looking for from somebody in that range. But, like, for example, I would rather play him than Mitchell, you know, just me personally. Yeah. I like the Gobert call, too. I think that...
No, I agree. I mean, he's 9,400, and then Donovan Mitchell's 9,000. I'm not paying 9,000 for Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just too much. I mean, he got shut down by Andrew Wiggins the other day. I mean, he did reach the 40-point mark, but for 9,400, you need at least, I think, if my math is correct, like 48 points.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I might be wrong.
Somewhere in that range.
I don't see him getting 48 points. I mean, Lillard could get his points, but the Jazz defense first position, they only allow 41 points per game against the point guard. So overall, Rudy's my only target here. These guys always do a weird rotation. If Evan Turner starts, then he's a good value. But as of right now, I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know who starts out of Evan Turner and what's his name, Mo Harkless. They always... Yeah. One day it came, one day it's him, you know. So if Evan Turner starts, he's a good start for value. But overall, this game, I'm not looking too much into it, to be honest.
All right.
And just kind of to piggyback on Garrison a little bit, on DraftKings anyway, Damian Lillard is 8,500, and then we mentioned Drew Holiday is 89. Mm. So I think that's going to be a decision that a lot of people are going to be making. And I think us on the show here, we all prefer Drew Holiday in that spot.
Yep.
So. Imagining most people are probably going to be, you know, trying to put Jokic in their lineup too. At that point, you're already, you know, kind of, you know, paid for two of the top players. It's going to be hard to fit guys like Lillard in without using a ton of value. So I think that's probably the way I'm going to go too.
All right. Good stuff. Let's play a little this or that. All right, y'all know how this game works. I'm going to give you two players. Sometimes they'll be priced similarly. Sometimes they'll be priced drastically different, and you got to decide which one of the two you want. So, Gerson, I'm going to go with you first with two guys that you – I think one guy you definitely mentioned. I think the other guy, Tim, mentioned a little bit. But that's going to be De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to use FanDuel prices. De'Aaron Fox at 7.8 or Trey Young at 7.3. Same game. Who you want?
De'Aaron Fox. It's not even close.
De'Aaron Fox, not even close. All right. What about you, Tim? Who do you like out of those two guys?
I'll take the other side. Give me Trey Young.
All right. So I'm going to be the tiebreaker. I think I'm going to go with De'Aaron Fox, and not really for any scientific reason, just because I like watching him play. I don't know. This kid, he's impressed me quite a bit. You know, I've watched a bunch of Sacramento games lately for some reason. I think because they are the high-scoring, high-flying game right now. I tend to have a lot of exposure to these games, so I think I've watched a ton of him lately. So I'm going with just the fact that I want to watch him play. So that's who I'm going to go with.
Did you just say scientific reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to you, Tim, this time, and we're going to get two shooting guards here. We're going to talk about Drew Holiday, which you mentioned. And then I'm going to talk about Bradley Beal. So they're priced, at least on FanDuel. I don't know what they are on DraftKings. On FanDuel, they're $100 apart. So do you like Holiday or do you like Beal?
Yeah, they're 200 apart on DraftKings, 89 and 87. I just mentioned I'm going to go Drew Holiday in this spot. With all those guys out, he soaks up so much of that usage. It's going to be one of the highest over-unders on the slate. So give me Drew Holiday.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Garson? Holiday or Beal?
I think I'm man.
Asante's in the Facebook group right now saying Holiday.
I think I'm going Drew Holiday for sure, but it just worries me, man. That's three games in four nights. But overall, I'm gonna go Drew Holiday. I mean, if Randall plays though,
right,
you kind of have to temper your expectation a little bit. But I'm going Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I think I'm going Holiday with a slight edge over Beal. I do like the fact that Beal's at home. He tends to play much better at home. Holiday, obviously, is at home as well. But like you said, three games in four nights. he's basically carrying the scoring load. You know, what kind of legs he's going to have tomorrow. But I think even with that, I think he gets the slight edge for me over Beal. I think if the price was a little bit different, if Beal's a little bit cheaper, I think I would have gone Beal. But with that price being basically the same on both sides, I'm going to go with Holiday. All right, looking at some of the small forwards, you know, let's skip small forward because it's ugly. And the top guy in small forward is Otto Porter. You know, you got an issue. All right, let's go to the power forwards here. We're going to talk about two guys. Let's see. Let's go Jason Tatum or Jaren Jackson Jr. Tatum is 6,600. Jaren Jackson is 6,200. Gerson, who do you like out of those two guys?
I think I'm going to go Jason Tatum, to be honest. I love Jaren Jackson Jr., but I'm just waiting for Marc Gasol to get the hell out of here and they can finally show the monster he really is. I mean, this guy's a unicorn. I'm telling you guys, just wait till Gasol's gone and you'll be like, wow, he's actually probably one of the best rookies in this draft. But nice. He's Donk is good. Calm down, Tim. Calm down. Don't come
back. All right, Tim, what do you got, Jaren Jackson Jr. or Jason Tatum?
Yeah, man, just to be contrarian a little bit here, I'm going to go on the other side, Jaren Jackson. I think, like Garrison said, he's looking for one of those games. He's going to break out. He's going to have a game against Cat, and I think he's going to try and show out. So give me Jaren Jackson.
I'm with you, Tim. I think he's going to try and show out as well. I think they're trying to work him into the offense a little bit more because they are expecting to trade away Mr. Gasol there. So I think that he gets some good minutes and has a pretty good game there. So I think I'm going to go with Jaren Jackson as well. All right, let's wrap it up with the center position, and we'll start with you, Tim. Let's go with Jokic, and let's go with Jokic and Gobert. There's quite a bit of a price difference on FanDuel. Jokic is 11,200 compared to Gobert at 94. Obviously, Jokic has a higher upside. So are you taking that discount for Gobert, or are you paying up for Jokic?
No, I think I'm going to pay up for Jokic. I think he's when I first opened this slate, he was one of the first plays that stuck out to me, especially with all the injuries in New Orleans. So that's where I'm probably going there.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Garson? Who do you got for those two plays, Jokic or your boy Gobert?
Yeah, you pay up for Jokic for sure.
Pay up for Jokic.
When you're playing it. Like I said, I mean, this is what Denver is supposed to blow him out, my opinion, but if they're going to blow him out, it's going to be by him. And I don't know what the situation on Jamal Murray is, if he's going to play or not, but if he's out, then Jokic. Okay, then Jokic is basically the point guard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so with you both Jokic as well. I think you're paying up for Jokic as well. I think that he's just he may be the top player on the slate, you know, as far as the top players go, so I think I'm paying up for him as well. All right.
So. I'm hoping that people get trapped and try and play Towns because we mentioned earlier with the Memphis game, I think that game's going to be a little bit slower. So hopefully he'll peel away some ownership from Jokic.
Yep, because they're priced exactly the same over on FanDuel, so I can see that happening for sure.
Yep.
All right. We typically do our half-court shots next, but I didn't ask you guys before the show, do y'all have a half-court shot queued up? Because I know I don't.
There you go. Yeah, good call. Mine is Frank Jackson, assuming that Elf is on the shelf again.
All right, Frank Jackson. Who was yours, Gerson? I didn't catch it.
Edmund Summers,
yeah, good call. Yeah, I like that call. I actually had never heard of him until tonight, so good stuff. All right, guys, that's a wrap for the show. I'm Jeff Lambert. Again, follow me at JeffLambert77. Thank everybody on the Facebook group for tuning into the show tonight. For Tim, for Gerson, I'm signing out. Peace.
Later.
Go, Jack, go. Jackson Kleber for all the money.